I'm Kyle Long, and you're listening to Cultural Manifesto. The Grammy-winning vocalist and bass player, Michelle Ndege Ocello, will be performing at the Palladium in central Indiana on November 18. Michelle is known for her eclectic and expansive sonic palette. Her music incorporates elements of hip-hop, jazz, rock, soul, and more. And she's collaborated with a wide range of artists, from Madonna to the Rolling Stones. Michelle's latest album, The Omnichord Real Book, reflects her diverse influences and brings together a remarkable set of guest collaborators, including the Indianapolis composer and vocalist Hannah Benn. I recently spoke with Michelle Ndege Ocello. We discussed The Omnichord Real Book and her many connections to Indiana. Let's join our conversation. Michelle, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm a huge fan. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
You'll be performing in central Indiana on Saturday, November 18th at the Palladium. And we're going to talk about your latest album, Omnichord Real Book, which was just nominated for a Grammy in the Best Alternative Jazz Album category, right?
Yes, I can't believe it. It's so exciting.
Congrats.
And this Thank you so much.
It's such an expansive and monumental record, and there are so many amazing guest contributors on the album, from Jason Moran to Oliver Lake. But there's one artist I specifically wanted to ask you about, Indianapolis's Hannah Benn, a brilliant genius composer. Tell me about working with Hannah and why you wanted to feature her on this project.
Oh, I want to feature Hannah on everything. And it's like you said, she's a genius. And I know that is a term we kind of flaunt around, and I know they have an award for it. And it's rarely used when talking about a woman, but Hannah Benn is a genius arranger, composer, and vocalist. And anytime I can have her singing, I'm very happy. I find the tone of her voice like enchanting and angelic, and I can't wait. Her and D'Antoni, her partner from TechnoSelf, are working on a recording, and I can't wait for the world to hear it. I'm like, I think I'm her biggest fan, I must say. Watch it burn. You can't pretend like you don't wanna shake. Watch it burn. You can't pretend like you don't.
And I spoke to Hannah recently, and she told me maybe there's some other upcoming collaborations in the future between you and her. Is that right? Or can you even talk about that at this point?
Oh, yeah, okay. Definitely. She has several recordings I'd love to continue building on. And also, I'm working on a requiem, sort of a modern classical piece, and I'm really hoping that, you know, Hannah has time to go on that journey with me. And yeah, I just hope I get to learn from Hannah the rest of my time on this planet, because I can't even explain it. Like, just her ability to hear harmony and the power of the human voice, I've learned from her. She's just a what'd you call it? A mind chest of energy and creativity. So I look forward to the future.
Yes. Miss, wow. I appreciate you sharing all that. And I'm excited to hear what you have coming up in the future. I think I'm second behind you in terms of her biggest fan. So.
Oh, good, good. That's so good. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, are you going to come to the show if you can?
Of course. Thank you. On the subject of guest contributors, one of my favorite tracks on the record is Vuma, which features the extraordinary South African vocalist Tandiswa, one of the most unique and powerful singers in the world, in my opinion.
Yes.
I've been a fan of her since like the Kwaito group Bongo Maffin back in the day. Tell me about working with Tandiswa. She doesn't have a big presence in the States. Why did you want to feature her on this record, and how did you get interested in her music?
I've never heard power and a conjuring like Tandiswa Maswai. And also, and speaking of future projects, Chris Bruce and I just produced a few tracks with her that we're hoping she's finishing up in South Africa with some musicians. And I'm really excited for that to come out. But I think, like Hannah, it's too a genius, but the genius is the instrument as well. I mean, no one sings like Tandiswa. And the song Vuma is about that, the power of the human voice. And I think overall, the Omnichord is a celebration of the human voice. And also, these are just compositions or ideas I had that come to life the more we play them, the more other musicians put their energy into it. And that's what Tandiswa taught me. It's about your intention and the energy you come with. And I'm so happy you're a fan as well. I can't wait to have her. My dream is to have her do like 5-night residencies, maybe at the Blue Note, San Francisco, SF Jazz. We could come back to Indiana.
Yeah.
But it's like, she's like an incredible jazz vocalist and also just an incredible vocalist in any genre that she chooses to explore.
The album, Omnichord Real Book, references a unique synthesizer manufactured by Suzuki in the early 1980s. It was designed, I think, to function like an auto harp. Tell me about the influence of this instrument on the album, the Omnichord.
Oh, it was basically during COVID, you know, I had a job as a TV film composer. And it was a lot of like 8 to 10 hour days sitting in front of a laptop or in front of a desktop, just constantly being on a screen. And so in the evenings, I find myself desperate to make music, but I just did not want to be on a screen. So I found myself playing, you know, just bass around the house. And Chris had given me the Omnichord. And so I started fooling around with it. And it allowed me to like work out melodies and harmony ideas without being on a screen. And before you knew it, I was just trying to make it my own instrument. And so I just loved it because it disengaged my eyes and just was something I could hold and be in a corner with, you know, with batteries. I didn't need to be hooked up anywhere. And so it just became my friend during COVID time. And the songs just kind of came from there. But like a song like Towers, I wrote many, many years ago, almost 8 years and 10 years ago. But when I listened to it, it seemed so fitting, you know. Or Gatsby, that was written by Samora Pender Hughes. I think the recording overall is a lament and an ode to my father, who showed me the power of music and of a real book and having songs that allowed 5 or more people to get together who probably didn't know each other at that moment. But that composition brought them together and gave them something to hold on to. So that's what the whole recording is about, sort of freeing myself from the digital world, finding the songs within, and trying to create things that will grow and feel good with the band.
Feel secure.
speaking of your father, he was a sax player. I imagine you grew up hearing a lot of jazz records at home. Omnicord Real Book was released on the Blue Note label, probably the most legendary jazz record label ever. Did that mean anything to you to record for Blue Note? Dumb question,
probably. Of course it does. Yeah, I know. I was like, of course it does, young man. Oh my God. To be honest, it's I don't think about it too much. It's such a dream come true. I'm just trying to enjoy it, you know, before it's no more. But yeah, it's quite an honor. And I look forward to next year, too. They're going to release my second recording, which is called The Gospel of James Baldwin. And I look forward to this relationship. I love Don Was before he was the label president. I just think he's a very unique listener and a unique bass player and human being. And I'm just, like I said, grateful for this time we're having together. And I'm excited. And the Blue Note staff and team, because I know it sounds corny, because I've been on record companies that weren't so great, but it's really great to be here. And I don't know if they're joshing me, but I really feel taken care of and that they really listen to the music and finding ways to promote it. So I'm very grateful.
Mention James Baldwin, and I want to go back to a 2002 album you made, Cookie, the Anthropological Mixtape, which features the voices of poets and activists, including Angela Davis, June Jordan, and Dick Gregory. Two tracks on the record feature the voice of the great, legendary Indianapolis poet, Etheridge Knight, specifically his poems, The Idea of Ancestry, and Hard Rock Returns to Prison from the Hospital for the Criminally Insane. I'm a huge Etheridge Knight fan. I produce a series called Finding Etheridge for this station, exploring his work in Indianapolis. Tell me, are you an Etheridge fan? How did his voice end up on this record?
Oh, my God, yes, I am. Yeah. I during the Cookie moment, that was another moment where I was like just in that creative search. And I found myself leaning back on the poets. And I had this incredible poetry compilation. It had Etheridge Knight on it, Conti Cullen, June Jordan, and I just, the timbre of his voice, to me, it's like a great MC, the tone. He was like a Guru or Rakim. It was like, not only the words move you, but the flow and his instrument, and I've just always been a fan that he could turn such pain into such beautiful language and take you along with him. So, yes, I'm a huge fan.
What is Africa to me?
I started making up this poem when I was in solitary town. After being called by a number for 5 years, 30,562, I was beginning to forget who I was. The idea of ancestry. Take to the wall of my cell of 47 pictures, 47 black faces. My father, mother, grandmothers, one dead. Grandfathers, both dead. Brothers, sisters, uncles, aunts, cousins, first and second.
I appreciate you listening to Cookie. I think that's a record a lot of people skim over.
That's so very
really
cool.
I'm grateful to that.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I know. Let's just celebrate Indianapolis. I'm not going to lie. It's a very special place. I mean, Kurt Vonnegut as well,
correct.
Right? Am I mistaken? Yeah.
Monk Montgomery, the first, the guy who popularized electric bass with Lionel Hampton's band in the 40s. Yeah, from Indianapolis. Of course, Wes's brother. Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah, so I'm like, I can't wait to land on sacred ground and just, play in this amazing state. I got to do a lot more research. Some, must be something in the water.
Yeah. A mural of Etheridge just went up on a jazz club here where he did his Free People's Poetry Workshop. So check that out. If you find yourself downtown while you're here, you might want to check out the Etheridge mural.
Yeah, yes. I'm taking notes right now. Cool. I will do that.
And finally, Michelle, folks here in Indiana will come at me if I don't mention your 1994 collaboration with the famous Hoosier musician John Mellencamp.
Maybe I need to move to Indiana.
Another welcome. Yeah, you're welcome.
It's another life changing.
Tell me about that. It's been almost 30 years. It was a huge hit. Tell me about Mellencamp and making that record.
Well, that's funny. Somebody just was asking me about it, so it's sort of fresh in my mind. I remember Andrew White wrote for Billboard magazine. I don't know if he was a great music writer. I had met him during my travels with the second record, and he said, I really think you should meet John Mellencamp. And I was like, okay, I'm a huge fan. And he brought us together. Mellencamp flew me down there. He has this amazing compound of art and music. I remember at the time the Dalai Lama's brother lived there and had a great Thai restaurant. And I had just come off of Plantation Lullabies, and also had been working in a way where I was playing everything. It was really digital. Like the producer I was working with was a beta tester for Pro Tools. So I was really in a high production world. But when I got to Indiana, I realized, like, Mellencamp, we're just going to sit in the room and play together and work out the song. And it just brought me back to my roots of growing up in D.C. and go-go. Mm-hmm. And it was just like life-changing. I think it's what led me to Bitter, to be honest, when I think in hindsight. But it was just great to be in there with like a hero, someone I truly admired his music. He did smoke the whole time. He sang the vocal in the same room. I do remember that. That stood out. But it was just one of those experiences, I think, in my youth where I was like, music is a force. There's all different kinds of ways to make it. But the part that stands out was I was in a room with this man, just sitting and talking, going through bass lines and, you know, working out the arrangement. And it was just, like I said, a life-changing song for me. I think it exposed people to me that would have not have known someone with a strange name. And it was just a really good time. And I thank Mr. Mellencamp for that forever.
As you brush your shoes,
Michelle, you'll be performing in Central Indiana on Saturday, November 18th at the Palladium. Anything you want to say about the show or final thoughts you want to share with your fans in Indiana?
First of all, thank you, young man, for being so kind and having great questions.
Thank you.
And second, I was like, music is really like, step out of the algorithm. You may not know what I do, or you can't really pigeonhole it into one idea, but if you have the means right now and you can come out and have a good time and hear live music, please do. Come with an open mind. I play with some great musicians. Last time I was in Indianapolis, I was opening for Andrew Bird. Our drummer Abraham Rounds plays with Andrew as well. Chris Bruce has played with the likes of Seal, Sheryl Crow. He just produced Liz Wright's record. On keyboards is Jebin Bruni. He's played with Tears for Fears, P.I.L. Justin Hicks is joining us. Kyle Miles plays bass with Nick Hakim. I mean, we're just a group of traveling musicians who I think we have something to offer. So, you know, just come out, you know, and tell a friend. It's really meaningful when musicians sell out, not for their ego. It's what keeps the tours going. It's what keeps the venues going. And right now, it's a heavy time. Come out and have some fellowship with us. And thank you for your time. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, it was an honor and joy to talk with you today. Thank you for taking time to do this, Michelle.
Oh, thank you, young man, and have a good day.
Gold where my luck is all dried up, all dried up. Where's the gold where my luck is?
Thanks to my guest, Michelle Ndege Ocello. And thank you for tuning in. Listen, download, and subscribe to the Cultural Manifesto podcast at WFYI.org or wherever you get your podcasts.